Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Each of the four Gospels centers on the identity of Jesus. Who is Jesus? The words of Jesus in our text from Luke are but one small example of this question being asked and how it was being answered. Who do people say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist. Others say, Elijah. And others that one of the prophets has arisen. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. This identity question is so important because it lies at the very heart of salvation. Believing who Jesus is foundational for believing what he has done to save the world. Peter answers this identity question correctly. You are the Christ of God. Jesus obviously accepted that answer, but he gives important contours to that answer with his follow-up. He further defines it as he says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Why does Jesus flesh out his identity when obviously Peter had gotten it right? He identified him as the Christ of God. Why especially does he point his disciples to events that appear to be indeed humiliating and indicative of messianic failure to help them understand his identity? One way to understand Jesus' words about his identity is to acknowledge that people define other people not only by titles, but by actions, especially specific defining actions at key times in their life. People do not only look at titles like Messiah or President or Pastor to understand a person, but they look at those specific actions at key moments in their lives to understand who these people really are. Furthermore, the actions or action of that people look at for the truly defining actions of people's lives are not always the right ones. Namely, they may not be the actions that really unveil a person's identity, that really tell you who he is. For example, if you were to ask someone who Lance Armstrong is, I'm sure that many people would automatically come up with he's that terrific bicycle racer who just won the Tour de France, and that is seen as the defining action of his life, his winning of those bicycle races. What such a definition of his identity misses is that the defining action of Lance Armstrong's life were not the victory rides down the Champs-Élysées last year and again this past month, not even the grueling attacks that he led at crucial stages in the Alps that led to his victory, but rather the defining action of his life, of himself as a racer, was his battle against cancer. His vicious and successful battle against the cancer that racked his body 3 years ago is the defining action that helps us understand who Lance Armstrong is as a person and as a bike racer. What about Jesus? What is the defining action of his life? The action that unveils his identity like no other action does. I'm confident that many people thought they understood his identity because they, at this point in his ministry, had seen his many healing miracles and they were fresh off the fantastic miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 that Luke records right before this identity question is posed. These actions, especially the miraculous feeding, were being viewed by people as the defining actions of Jesus' identity. You want to know who Jesus is? Look at these miracles, especially the feeding of the 5,000. These actions, even though they say much about the divine nature of Christ, nevertheless, are not the key defining actions of Christ, of who he is. Certainly, they are not the ones that ultimately lay bare the identity of Jesus, that open his heart for the world to see. Neither the first disciples nor can we truly know Jesus apart from the actions that he points to himself as the ones who define his identity. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, be killed, and on the third day be raised. It is especially in his willing suffering, rejection, and crucifixion in the place of all sinners that we see the identity of Jesus as the Christ of God. It is this defining action, what the world might see as humiliation, as messianic failure, that not only displays the depth and the breadth and the height of Christ's compassion for sinners, but it is this action that also unveils to us, in the clearest possible way, the mystery of who the Holy Trinity is and continues to be. It shows us, like no other action, his gracious posture towards sinners, as he, God, takes upon himself our sins and suffers in himself the consequence of those sins. Many people, however, want to look elsewhere to other actions to define Jesus. Just this past Tuesday afternoon, I had a knock at my door, like many of you have had before, Jehovah Witness. And of all things, you know, here I'm thinking about this text a little bit. What's the tract that's handed to me? Who is Jesus? You know what? One of the first things she said to me as she was talking about this, and, you know, I just come from here, so I still have my collar on. You know? I have to respect her boldness in witnessing. One of the first things she said, now, because we were talking about the divine nature of Jesus, you know, we cut right to the chase and started talking about that. One of the first things she said to me, but isn't it? It doesn't make sense that God died on the cross. And I said, you know, that's precisely the point. It doesn't make sense to us as humans that God would come in flesh and die for us. But that's the wonderful thing. We don't have a God that stays tucked away in heaven, watching from afar, sending in the B team saying, hey, this is what you guys got to do to get out of this predicament. No, we have a God who comes, who suffers, who dies, who rises again, and who offers us the victory of his action freely through faith. Who is this Jesus? Indeed, that question is something that not only is a struggle with Jehovah Witnesses, but sometimes even those in our own circles use other things than Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection to put before people to understand Jesus' identity. I remember in our school, one of our teachers taking down a crucifix out of his office and putting up a smiling face of Jesus. Now, I have no problems with him putting up a smiling face of Jesus, but I did have a problem with him putting it up where the cross was in each one of the other classrooms in the school. Why? Because it is so important for our understanding of not only Christ, but a God, the God who created us and who went to those kinds of ends to redeem us from our sins. Although there are many words and actions throughout history that reveal and define the identity of God for us, none is as definitive in our understanding of God's true and full identity as the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ. But our text goes on. It poses another identity question. Who are you? Jesus does not stop with the discussion of his own identity, but he goes on to discuss the identity of those who follow him. As he says, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory. So what are the defining actions of your life? Maybe your graduation from college, magna cum laude, no less. Maybe it's your wedding day. Maybe it's your ordination day, whether it's past or expected. Maybe it's your first sermon in your home congregation. Are these the defining actions of your identity? Because our identity is linked to Jesus, he points us elsewhere to understand who we really are. He points us to a quiet and powerful action. He points us to the splashing of water, the speaking of some words. For there we died to ourselves, denying ourselves in the ultimate way, as our sin was drowned in the waters of baptism, and there Christ began to live in us. The defining action in the life of a Christian is not our own action. It is God's action for and in us, in drowning our old Adam and raising us to live with Christ. Losing our life at the font, Christ now defines our identity, who we are. Even more than this, he is our identity. Through our union with Christ that's nurtured through his word and through his meal, his life shapes and defines our own. His life of service, of suffering, of sacrifice shows itself, becomes manifest, enfleshed in our lives. If any man comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever saves his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. Rather than being ashamed of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, or his repeated teaching of the necessity of his suffering and death, Jesus' words lead us to see this as the defining action of his life, of the reality of the Holy Trinity, the gracious action that reveals who he truly is and who we are becoming through and in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.